On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be all right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Alright, it's no big deal.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
It's just me talking, that's all it is. It's really no big deal. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. Sit down, relax. You can close your eyes and meditate while I talk. Whatever you want. I'll be passing out finger sandwiches a little bit later in the show. You know which finger that would be. You know. How was your weekend? Huh? How was your weekend? You know, when someone comes up to you and says, hey, how are you? How was your weekend? You know they have nothing to talk about. You know they have nothing else to say. Hey, how was your weekend? Right? It's ridiculous. How was your weekend? What do they care? They make it sound like they're so interested in your every move. Oh, I'm so interested in you. I follow your every whim and desire. Oh, how was your weekend? Oh, I hope it was all right. Oh, my God. Omicron, I hope your weekend was... What did you do? What did you do this weekend? What did you do? My binoculars weren't working. What did you do this weekend? Oh, they make believe they care so much. And your immediate reaction is, oh, someone's interested in me. No, they're not. They're just forming words into sentences that make no sense whatsoever. They don't care about you. They really don't. And when someone says that to me, of course, I'm being a little extreme here, but when, I'm being overdramatic. But when someone says that to me, my immediate reaction is, you don't care. Why should I bother wasting my breath and my time telling you how my weekend was when I know full well you don't give a shit. You don't care. How was your weekend, Ron? Oh, it was terrible. Oh, that's nice. They're not even listening. They're darning socks. They don't even care about you. They don't even care about your response. How was your weekend?
Well, I woke up at 6 o'clock. I had breakfast. I think I had 2 fried eggs. One was over easy. The other wasn't that easy to over. And then I had sausage link. It was a turkey sausage link. And
they don't care. They don't care. They gave you the false impression that they care about what you had for breakfast. Yes. Conversations are really funny that way. They really are. They go under the supposition that the other person really cares about what they just asked you about. They don't care. They don't care. I think it was the Seinfeld show that made an example of a baby. There was this couple that had a little baby, and they asked Jerry to come into the nursery and take a look at the baby. And it was an ugly baby, because most babies, babies are either ugly or they're not, unless it's your baby. Your baby is the prettiest baby ever in the world. Look at my baby. Isn't that the prettiest baby you've ever seen? No, it's not. Instead, we fawn over the damn thing, you know.
Aww.
Oh, look at your baby. Did that come out of your womb? Oh, wow. What a beautiful womb you must have had. I wish I could go into your womb. Oh, God, it's just the whole thing's disgusting. Oh, yeah. No, you have to fawn over people's babies. It's the raw. It's the rule. It's the raw. What the hell does that mean? It's the rule. If you read the Bible, and I suggest you read it just from a purely accurate historical assessment. Oh, the Bible's real. Oh, that's all. You know who wrote the Bible? Jesus, and God wrote the Bible. Okay, whatever. In any event, in the Bible, I think it's Leviticus chapter 7, verse 2, phrase 17, paragraph 2, footnote 17, it says, thou shalt fawn over children. It does say that. And there it must pass. So that is what it says. You have to make a big deal out of somebody else's small thing. We do the same thing with dogs. Dogs are actually really cute, you know. Dogs are really actually cute. So when we fawn over them, we really mean it.
Aww.
Babies, not so much. Not so much. No, not so much. Here's something that I truly believe, and if you're still listening, kudos. Here's something I truly believe, speaking about children. By the way, I don't dislike children. I just think they don't know what the hell they're doing yet, so I can't take them seriously. I just can't. When they're running around screaming, it's just an annoyance to me. That's all I wanted to say. Children should not act like children. In my book, children should act like small people, which is really what they are. In any event, if any child bullies another child in school, the child that is bullying should be arrested. I do believe that. When someone is bullied in school, it follows them the rest of their lives. It changes their personality. It harkens them back to being picked upon and picked on. And bullies are the poster child of ruining one's life. Now, I personally wasn't bullied because I was a tall son of a bitch when I was a little child. But I did see a lot of it. And that if I could beat the shit out of every bully I saw in school, I would. But you can't do those things anymore. When you're a child, you know, oh, they're just being children. They're just being children. I know, and that's not good. A child should never hit or beat upon another child. I'm sorry, that's assault. You can't say, oh, they're just being children. That is assault and battery and every kind of other battery and assaulting you can do. A child must learn upon the first assault on another child that is not acceptable. The response, oh, they're just being children, is so wrong. I mean, you know, like when a husband beats a wife, well, he's just being a husband. Is that the excuse? Actually, it is sometimes. They actually make a t-shirt called a wife beater. Did you know that? That was a thing. And millennials don't know this. That was actually a shirt, an undershirt that men wore, and it was called a wife beater. It had no arms, and it's just a strap. It's like a long torso bra, and it's called a wife beater. I don't think that's acceptable anymore as a title of a undergarment. What are you wearing there, Bob? Oh, it's my wife beater. Oh, why are you wearing that? I'm going to beat my wife. Oh, okay then. That's good. We can't tolerate this stuff. And when a little child, an 8-year-old or a 13-year-old or something, beats upon another kid as a bully, I want your lunch money. You know, I want your lunch money is like holding someone for ransom. You can't do that. Children must be punished accordingly by the legal system. Juvenile court or something like that. Don't they have that? Use it. You never let a child beat upon another child. Ever. That's called bullying. And there can be psychological bullying, too. That also should not be allowed. But you can't physically put your hands on another child or another person, ladies and gentlemen. And we have video cameras all over the schools now. And if the mother says, oh, no, my child did not bully that your child. My child wouldn't do something like that. Oh, yeah? Let's roll the tape, Joe. Roll the tape. Oh, my God. I think my child just bumped into your child's arm with his fist. I think that's all that happened. Let's slow motion that, Bob. Come on. Joe. Joe, slow motion that. See? Your child purposely punched my child. Well, they're just being children. Oh, really? Well, you'll hear from my attorney then. Because those penalties can be up to $5,000 and life imprisonment. It should be life imprisonment because the child, who is being bullied, carries that the rest of their lives. So it should be life imprisonment. You probably think what I'm saying is a little harsh. Let me tell you something, kids. When I was growing up, they knew how to take care of the children, yeah. When the father came home, yeah, the father, that's what fathers are for, to beat the crap out of their kids. Oh, no, an adult cannot hit a child. I don't care if it's a father and son. I don't care what it is. An adult cannot hit a child. Well, your child cannot hit another child. So here you go. Bullying is makes me so mad. Oh, it makes me so mad. I feel so bad for the child that's being beat upon as a bully just has a bad day. Hey, Johnny, come here. Want to punch your face.
Why?
Our bad day, and I'm a bully.
Oh, God. Not again.
I hate that. You know, when I do this show, I don't really know what I'm going to be talking about half the time, which becomes obvious, I guess, halfway through the show. It pretty much becomes obvious, hey, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, or he's so unprepared that it's absolutely insane. Well, you're right. That's why... you're absolutely right. That's why we take these short but important mental breaks.
You may not realize it, but we put these breaks in the middle of the Ron Van Dam Show to give you a moment to stop and think about the fact that you are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show and maybe give you a couple minutes alone with your thoughts to reconsider some of your life choices, like one of those moments might be happening right now. Are you still here? Well, okay, if that's the way it's got to be. You are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Feel better now? No, me either. Me either. You know, it's really bothering me, a couple of things, and I know that you're really interested in what bothers me. But maybe this bothers you, too. Report came out this morning. I don't know who did the report. I'm not a news person. I'm just telling you. A report came out that the profits the past month from the oil companies have been through the roof. They have made more money, the oil companies, especially Exxon and Chevron, more money than they have in like since 2020 or whatever. So let me understand this, if I may. Gas prices go through the roof, over $5 a gallon, well over $4 a gallon, and the profits from gas go up 100%. That's the figure that was quoted. When profits go up 100%, that means that their profits were doubled. There is something so incredibly wrong with that, I can't even begin to explain it. And I don't care the reason. I just know that there was price gouging or Prouse gouging, making up words because I can't speak properly. There was price gouging going on. But even if there wasn't, how dare oil companies make double the profit? I mean, that just doesn't make sense. Something's wrong somewhere. And I don't care about your economic explanations. Something's wrong somewhere. That's problem that I have, number one. Problem that I have, number two. I live in the northeast quadrant of the country. Look, here's a map. I live right there. There's a drought going on where I live. Which means that my grass is yellow. Yes, I have a yellow lawn. It's pretty if you like the color gold. It's not if it's not green, it's not good. I can't water my lawn. The town says if I water my lawn, I'll get a $500 fine slapped upon me. That's bullying. But it hasn't rained here since 1927. So I get it. Water is scarce. I boiled my spaghetti yesterday in Kool-Aid because you can't use water too much. Yet, in Kentucky, a state that I have no reason why it actually needs to exist, in Kentucky, it has been raining for 40 days and 40 nights, and there's flooding and there's people dying in floods. Streets are up to the lamppost. I mean, it's amazing how much rain they're getting there. It never stops raining. Okay, how's this possible? In Kentucky, it never stops raining. Where I live in Massachusetts, it hasn't rained since 1927. Something's incredibly wrong. I could use a little of Kentucky's rain, and Kentucky can use a little bit of my drought. If you're going to construct pipelines, let's put water through them. That way you can take the rain, it'd drain out of Kentucky, and go to places where there's a drought. We haven't figured that out yet. That's something you can't really do virtually. You have to actually have water transfers involved. So if you're going to set up pipelines, let's not put oil in them. Let's put water in there, huh? If we could just redistribute the rain, I think we'd be better off. Now, I don't have enough money to start getting into this infrastructure problem. I'm just saying. And don't tell me that things have nothing to do with climate change. Everything has to do with climate change. Yeah, my mother-in-law's obsession with being a rotten son of a bitch has to do with climate change. Everything does. It's serious, and I'm not being sarcastic. It really does. Everything's more intense because of climate change, and it's true, and I can prove it. Let's take out the map again. See? Okay. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program. I hope that you will enjoy. But until that time actually comes, which is coming like really, 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 really soon, let's take a commercial break. We'll be right back after this.
We don't get to choose our family names. We're born into them, and some of them are, quite frankly, a little embarrassing. For many, a burden that follows them through life. If you've got an embarrassing last name, you may have thought about having it legally changed, but perhaps you've thought it might be complicated and expensive. Well, I'm here to tell you that having your last name legally changed is simple and cost-effective, and will take that lifelong burden away in just a few easy steps. Call me today, Attorney Jim Cockwaffle, with the offices of Cockwaffle and Cumstein. We know what you're going through.
Juliana Brasti joins us now. She's a travel filmmaker, a host, a Heartland Emmy Award winner. She does everything. Juliana, thanks for being with us today. Where are you as we speak?
Oh, right now I'm in Dandridge in eastern Tennessee, about an hour from Knoxville.
Interesting. We're talking about places to go and things to do around this great country of ours, and I know that you've done a focus on that there are a lot of interesting places to go that some people may not think of going to, and we're going to learn about that today, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of travelers, when they think of going somewhere, they think of these big cities, you know, Broadway or Las Vegas, but there's so much charm in these small cities. I want to share a few with you today.
That's great. Let's get started, because I actually am looking forward to this. I have some time off, and I don't know where the hell to go. So, and I don't want to, you know, I want to do something that's different, that's interesting, and fill my cup here.
Yeah, it's no fun when you go somewhere and it feels exactly like another place you've already been, right? You want something that feels special and different. You know, in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado, Glenwood Springs is a wonderful family-friendly place to visit. There's an entire theme park on the side of a mountain. So you get to ride a gondola to the top and then ride roller coasters and get your adrenaline pumping on the giant swing, and it feels like you might smash into a cliff, but you don't.
Oh, that's fun.
It's exciting.
I mean, it's just some great things to do. I heard this song growing up, Chattanooga Choo Choo, and that's a real thing, I understand.
Yes. I was recently in Chattanooga, and it's the historic train. It's so much fun to learn about them. There's a cute little train for photo ops and stuff at the station, where you'll find lots of great food and shopping. But I really think some of my favorite things in Chattanooga are up on Lookout Mountain. Have you been there?
I have not.
Lookout Mountain has great views and just so much adventure. You can, if you're with the family, you can just head on to the Incline Railway, which is one of the steepest passenger railways in the country and the world. And you can also go to Rock City, which is a kind of cool walk through the park. These huge boulders, and you have to kind of suck it in when you squeeze through some of the very, very narrow pathways.
Wow.
There's a place where you can actually see seven states all at once, this beautiful panoramic overlook. Mm. So that's definitely a great photo op.
Wow. Are the states different colors like they are on maps?
Yeah, there's also a border, right? There's a little obvious border distinction.
That's right. A little gap.
No.
Yeah. Mm.
It is fun.
Yeah, what's most interesting to me are these little nifty little things that I would never think about. I know in Connecticut there's a Pez museum, and they have all the Pezes from the past and stuff. And
And
then I learned that there's something, there's a Bush museum that is not connected to the former president. It's a bean museum. Is that true?
There's an entire museum dedicated to beans.
Wow.
And it's so funny, because you would never think, like, oh, I want to go learn about beans. Where do beans come from? But then you realize, I've been eating this food my whole life, right? Every summer on your plate with barbecue. It's a tradition. It's a piece of Americana. And so when you're in this part of the world and you see this is a wonderful family-friendly opportunity, and it's such a different experience than some of the most popular tourist places nearby, like Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are traditional. There's so many big box kind of, you know, heart pumping experiences. You can go to a fun house where there's a bunch of mirrors, or go to a wax museum. But Bush's Visitor Center is just that family feel where it's educational and interesting. So there's a lot to see over here.
Wow. I read a story about a guy that in his life he wanted to go to every ballpark in the country, and, mm-hmm. and he's done it, and that was his thing. Some of these ballparks are actually quite interesting destinations, I understand.
Yeah, you know, baseball is, it's fun to have a theme, and for me, I've always loved food, mm-hmm. to see where food comes from. It's just, there's different levels of, you know, for example, when I was here at the museum, I didn't realize that the beans that you're familiar with, the baked beans, the original mm-hmm. recipe, they're white. And when I was watching in the theater, where they have these super comfy seats, they actually shaped like beans.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And when you're watching the footage, I know, they're really cool, like couches. And when you watch the footage, you're realizing, like, this is how they make the beans, just a couple, like a building or two over there in the really pretty area.
Mm.
But you're learning that the beans actually go in and they're white, and it's the sauce that makes them brown. So I'm like, that's cool. Like, you wouldn't know that if you were just eating beans on your plate.
Yeah, just visiting factories would be fascinating to me, and I guess there are a lot of destinations like that. And, of course, there are the national parks, which are always always incredible, and they're all over the place, too.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm right in the foothills of the Great Smoky Mountains, and I did a beautiful hike over there, Laurel Falls,
mm-hmm.
where it's about a little over a mile each way, and you arrive to an 80-foot waterfall, and it's just a beautiful photo op. Very popular in the summer, but I feel like my trip would not have been complete to not see the Great Smoky Mountains.
Wow. You know, as a video journalist, I guess this is pretty much what you do, right?
Yeah, I'm a professional traveler.
Yeah, are you ever at home, or I mean, who watches the dogs? I mean, how do you pull this off?
No dogs, no pets. I have Jay and Duke here to be my resident family.
Wow.
for animals.
Right.
But no, it's fun because being on the road, you're just constantly adding to your library of experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's what life's really about, right? Just, we can have as many things in our house, but to have experiences just really change you as a person.
It's kind of true. Mm-hmm. There's probably a long, long list of places that you may recommend that you could open us into, but I guess that's what websites are for. So where do we go?
I know, we could talk for hours and hours about places to travel to. I have a travel blog, and I'm on Instagram at Traveling Jewels. And if you want to find out more, kind of, there's so many interesting, quirky places. I was in Nebraska, and I went to Carhenge, which had all kinds of actual automobiles stuck in the ground.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Shaped like Stonehenge.
That's so funny.
I tell stories about those kind of fun adventures in the world.
Wow.
Even in, where was I? In Austin, Texas. I mean, you can go to a restaurant that has chickens as part of it. It's a game of bingo. So there's so many just different experiences in this country that I hope everybody has a chance to take a moment and skip the big thrills and sort of see that cool layer of small towns here.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's the down home heartland stuff that really is interesting that we've been talking about, that they're great conversation pieces. That's for sure.
It's so boring to see the same old thing. So it's really fun when you have a fun story, right?
it really is. No question about it. As you've just demonstrated here, Juliana Brasti, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, and thanks for opening our eyes on this facet. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful as usual. I don't know how you do it, to be honest with you. Let me ask you a question. How was your weekend? Oh, my God, how was your weekend? Oh, tell me. I can't exist without knowing how your weekend. What did you do? What did you do this past week? What did you do? What did you do? Tell me everything. I'm so interested. Where did you go? What did you do? Who did you speak to? Who did you talk to on the phone? Who is this person? What's this person's number doing here? Tell me everything that you did this weekend. Detail, but I want all the gory details, and don't leave anything out. I want to hear everything that you did this. I mean everything. I want to see the notes. I want to see the files. I want to know, what did you do this? Where? What did you eat? How many times did you chew it? Did you swallow every time? I want to know, what exactly did you do? And if you weren't doing anything, I want an explanation. I want to know why. What did you do this week? What did you do? What did you do? Who put this mess on the floor? What did you do this weekend? I want to know what you wore. Did you wear something nice? Did you wear something nice this weekend? I want to know. What were you wearing? Tell me what you were wearing when you were doing these things this weekend. Tell me everything that I need to know. Tell me now. What did you wear at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
Have yourself a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until then, I wish you peace.